We're ready.
Call our meeting back to order. Three commissioners and Mr. Preston.
We can start out with the one you brought up if you'd like to.
Yeah. Children playing. We've had conversations in years past, I know, and I know you've had some classes or something. Anyway, we've got them throughout the county and had a phone call saying we need to put one up.
We took some down, too.
Are we consistent?
Yeah, I think we are. After we got the message from Frank, and I think we even had a conversation about the false sense of security from children playing signs and kids playing in the road whenever they shouldn't be, and the responsibility land, switching the responsibility from the county to the citizen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was all this brought up in conversation before.
We've talked about it several times.
What's the process?
We try to refrain from putting children at play signs up on county roads unless there's some type of facility in the near vicinity that would create a situation where there's children generally at play. But to place one in the middle of a county road gives the residents a false sense of security that the driving public knows that there's children playing in the road. So parks, rec centers, schools, any place children would congregate, according to the MUCTD, Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices, is the only place you should. Now, we, as the county commission, you can choose to put them wherever you like. You can honor anyone's request in regards to that. It's one of those signs that there's not a black and white. It's to your discretion.
Didn't Frank, during this conversation that you had with us, didn't we go to Mancy, as a matter of fact, on Gunnison Road, and remove two signs down there, and then one other location, we actually removed signs because there was a false sense of security? Do you know?
We haven't put it, we did take those down. We haven't put any up to my knowledge since I've been here because of that ruling. But there are some out in the county, and some have been out there for a long time.
So is your recommendation that we stay out of the children at play unless there's a criteria that would...
That's my recommendation, yes.
Okay.
So what? How do we react to the statement that, well, you've got them here and there? I know we do. I've seen them, unless they've come down in the last few days, I've seen them in the neighborhood.
Good question.
That's a great question. I've not been asked that before.
But if you tell someone no, that's logically the next statement is how do they get theirs going to there?
I'd say that our trend is that we're moving away from those signs unless they fall into areas that...
Could you identify those areas and almost create a policy?
Wow.
We pretty well did with the statement about schools and playgrounds and parks and other things. I'd say it's up to the discretion of the road superintendent.
I can call Mrs. Isaacs back if you'd like, Mr. Pennell. She called our office this morning and Deborah spoke with her. I didn't speak with her.
I think Josh is the one to call.
Okay.
I know Josh is the one to call me. And, I think we do need to answer the question because...
It's going to come.
If we put them in some neighborhoods and we don't in others... And
the answer that I typically give is one that I gave you just a minute ago. I give that answer on a regular basis, and I've just not been asked yet to remove any, or what about 3 miles down the road I've seen one. I've not taken it to that next step yet. I can call the Isaacs and look into how many we have out in the field actually have in place. See if we want to take any action on them.
Do you know how many we have out in the field?
We have a signed inventory. I might be able to run a query on what our inventory says is out in the field.
I'd be most intrigued with that information.
Intrigued.
Most intrigued.
Well, the reason being, I want to see if we've followed some sort of process.
I'm not sure we have in the past.
Well, that would answer, but they might have also followed some sort of process.
Well, I think in this discussion before, and I just, you can correct me if you want to, I think we talked about the responsibility of the county versus the responsibility of the residents. If we put up children at play signs, then we are saying that there's children in the county road, and if somebody runs over them, the county accept that would be in the county's responsibility. I think that's the reason those were taken down at Gunnison and that other location. I don't know where the other location is right now because it's been some time since we talked
about
that.
It's been a while. We did make all those statements.
Huh?
We did talk about all of that well over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago.
It just seems to me if we're going to hang our hat on that, then we need to go take them down every place else. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I think we should. But if that's the reason that we're doing that, then we're not being consistent with here and there.
That's why I said we probably need to come up with a policy and be consistent. I mean, just some sort of show going forward that we're very consistent with people who request it.
I'm being consistent in the way that I've denied all of them since I've been here.
You've denied them all?
Yes, all of them. But I haven't taken any down that were in place, other than the few that we're mentioning. Haven't started a program to evaluate where they're at and see if they meet any of the criteria.
I'm sure you see my point is, mm-hmm. from Danny's point, that it's a liability issue to the county. If that's the reason we're not going to put them up, then we need to address all the signs that's out there.
So what are we going to do?
I bet we've got oodles and gobs of the number I don't have. Mm-hmm. But I believe I've driven by one on the two county roads I've lived on. I believe there's one on Brookfield, and I believe there's one on Quincy. And as I drive them, have driven them a lot. And I bet there's a bunch of them out there. Mm-hmm.
I can try and find out for you how many there are.
I think I understand the liability thing, and in fact, when I talked to Josh, I was assuming that's why you said no, that there was somewhat to what Danny was saying. But on the other hand, again, those roads that I drive, one of them is pretty evident, but Brookfield, there's one house, and there's that sign, and I can see a UPS truck, a delivery truck driver coming down that road. It's not there. It's a new road to them. It's a safety help, and I think. After you know the location, what's going on, you know, people don't pay any attention to them, I'm sure. But for somebody new driving down the road, I think it's a good warning.
One of the things that makes it difficult is some of the people that call, most of the people that have called in to me have children that they're concerned about.
Right.
And for some reason those people move and they were the family with children on that particular road. Now that sign is no longer truly valid.
Right.
Because a ranch here or there, children all grown, and the family with children have moved. So
right.
It's a hard thing to police also once they're up.
And one example I'm giving you may be that case. I see dogs all the time, but I don't remember ever seeing kids out there. In fact, I think it's kind of hanging cattywampus. So it's something you'd have to monitor if you're going to have them, of course. Be sure that they're valid signs. So as Jim would say, what are we going to do?
I'll look into it a little farther, see how many we have, and I'll bring you some definitive language as to the placement of those signs. And
is there a speed limit posted on that sign? When it says children at play, do they reduce the speed on the speed limit, or does it just say children at play?
I think it just says children at play.
All right, the ball is in Frank's court, the way I hear it.
So I hear it.
All right.
Okay.
Next.
Something that's come up for a couple of weeks now, I think I've spoke with one or two possibly of you about this. This is a road off of H Highway. It's Campbell Road. Several people, two people that I know have lived on it, have called and would like us to repair about a quarter mile of road.
Say it again. Where?
Campbell. Off of H.
Campbell off of H, okay.
Water has run off of a county road, according to the residents that live there, and created a rutting situation down the majority of the private road. The crews that responded, one Harlan to do an assessment, and the second one to do the portion of the road that is in the county right away, stated that the ditches that are there have been hammered down to rock, and that during some of the torrential rains we had is what caused this driveway, the ditches to overflood and water to go down this driveway. When we had those rains several weeks ago, we had this type of situation all over Taney County. This would be the first one that's come forward and requested that we repair the entire length of the private road because supposed county water went down the road and ruined their road. They've also requested a front end alignment on one of their vehicles.
So the water's running down this chip and seal or asphalt county road onto their driveway and washing it out, is what you're saying?
It did during a very significant downpour, according to the residents there. I wasn't there to see it, but that's their assessment of how and why their road was washed out. Typically doesn't happen under normal rain, but they received a torrential downpour in a quick amount of time, and
is there anything new in this situation, or just circumstances of the big downpour?
Big downpour. I told them that we didn't work on private property, and I'd have to seek authorization of the commission in order to do so. Told them that we had this situation in many places throughout the county during this rainy season.
So the chip and seal road or this asphalt road, I guess that's what you're indicating in this picture, where it's running off right here. We haven't changed anything with that lately.
Not on our road, no.
So, and this road's been in the system for how many years?
That's not the road that's under the road.
Paved
that,
road?
The road that needs repair, the road that's washed out, is a private road. It's not.
But the paved road
is in the county system.
And it's been there for years, right?
Yes.
And we haven't changed anything recently?
No.
So what happens if there was a culvert and our culvert stopped up and it washed out? Of course, that would probably be on our right of way, I guess, mostly, mm-hmm. but. Would we fix that? Do we normally fix that?
We tend to lean on not. There have been cases where I know of one or two in the Branson area where we've gone in and fixed a washed out driveway on the way to the lady's house that was in the sewer project that somehow or another was related to the sewer project and or work around there that I think attributed to the loss or washout of her, the only way to get to her home.
What you're saying, special, not specialty cases, but things that were unrelated to ordinary circumstances, mm-hmm. that we've taken care of, that where there has been, like Jim said, a culvert that is plugged or some other circumstance that might cause the water to run down the road that was could be seen as a county issue. Just water running down a county road doesn't give a statement that the road that's to the side of it needs to be fixed. But if the county road contributes to the problem, then what you're saying is we've taken care of it in the past.
Yes. I'm not aware of any culverts or anything being clogged in this particular location.
Well, that was the report that was given to me on this particular location was that there was a culvert that was plugged. And I didn't know anything about it, hadn't looked at the pictures, hadn't investigated it myself. But that was what was told to me, that there was a culvert that was plugged that caused it to come down the road and turn down their drive. So you don't have that.
If that's the case, then.
I mean, I'm just saying that was what was reported to me. Whenever the people called in, they called in. I have to be there when this.
Right. They didn't word it exactly like that to me. Okay. They said water coming off the county road ruined our road.
Can you check that out?
Yes, I can.
Can you check it out and see if it's, up or down the road there? 50 or 100 yards or whatever, if there's a culvert that's plugged, because that's the way it was reported to me.
So if it's not a plugged culvert, are we yes or no on fixing the road? I'd have to say no.
I'd like for them to come and look at my road, in a short distance to my house. After those kind of rains that we had, it completely rutted it up within 50 to 100 feet. I mean, to where it took off the hill and cut a ditch right down the middle of it. But we had torrential rains that were heavy. And
one reason I brought up the culvert is my experience. And my road had a culvert plug up and washed out gravel. I never thought about calling the county. I just got my gravel and threw it back in there. But anyway.
That's the way I am with the ditches on this particular road. There's no ditch lines on the bottom of the road or no slope for the water to run off of it after I see the picture. I probably should have took some time to run out to the road and look at it before I would make a statement on it. But if you guys have... Jack actually thought we had some responsibility on this. Jack called me after I got a call from the citizens, and he actually, I think, went out and looked at it, and he said that he thought probably to the where it, the road made a bend that we would might take care of it as far as a grader smoothing the ditch up, but he was waiting on confirmation.
Mm-hmm. So I think what I hear is if it was a culvert that was plugged on the county road that caused this, then it's a go, and if it wasn't, it's not.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Got three nods. Sounds like
okay.
And I would even, Frank, just if there's something upstream, uphill that we did recently that caused it, like a culvert. But if we did a massive road work or something way up there that redirected water, then I'd be open to it, but mm-hmm. just a heavy rainfall doesn't qualify in my eyes.
Okay.
While we're on this discussion, I've seen a couple of places that the ditch is deep and the heavy rains is making it deeper, is cutting it out, continuing to cut it out. Is that something that we need to bring in some shot rock or something?
If there's any threat of it undermining the road or, you know, making the shoulder less stable, yes, we have done that in certain locations.
Okay. Seen that in a couple of places. One place it looked like it might be getting close to undermining and
right.
cause damage.
If you could,
bring them up.
Okay. Mark Twain School District came forward a couple of weeks ago and asked that we renew their intergovernmental agreement with them. Along with that, they've made a request to chip seal the parking lot at Mark Twain School parking lot. The previous agreement stated, in return, the Mark Twain School District shall remove trash from the sides of certain portions of county roads to be named by the county commission. The value of the trash removal is to correspond generally with the cost of the maintenance performed on the applicable school parking lots.
Is that the only reason they got on there? Because I talked to the principal down there, and he said that we could go ahead and store the snow removal base or whatever you use, the grit, mm-hmm. In that location like we had in the past. And I know that parking lot was chip and sealed, I think, 4 or 5 years ago when I first came in, and they had on their intergovernmental agreement storage of ice and snow removal that they had stored at the end of the lot back there. They furnished a place for us because of where the location was.
That's not on this particular agreement. There may have been another one.
Right.
Harlan did mention all the things that you just did.
Yeah, and I know we renewed it upon those reasons. What do you gentlemen think about that? I'd rather have it wrote in there. That he called me about, it's been 2 months ago, I bet, before chip and seal season started, and said that statement to me. You can go ahead and store that stuff that you've been storing there if you'll chip and seal the parking lot like you've done in the past. So I'm just going off of what was done in the past and what was agreed to in the past. And that's probably been 4 or 5 years ago that it was done.
Harlan did mention that the parking lot was chip sealed some time ago. They haven't stored anything there in the last few years.
Maybe it was before then, and maybe that was the reason.
I would think, though, we would need to put it in the contract.
It has to be in the contract.
And then if
it's the only way it can.
And the other thing, Frank, is go ahead and have Bob review it before we vote on it, just to make sure that we don't need to make any modifications because of the intergovernmental. Bob always reviews them anyway before we vote on
it. Okay.
You might call the superintendent down there if you don't care to and ask him about the... Because he stated that to me.
He stated that to me also.
Okay.
The storage.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did state that to me. It's just that this contract doesn't say
that. Yeah, if it doesn't read that way, well, then we've been storing stuff on them. If we have, I'd like for it to be on there.
So it hadn't been said, but so we're agreeing to chip and seal their parking lot in exchange for a place to store chips. Is that correct?
And those other reasons.
What were the other reasons I missed that?
The school district shall remove trash from the size of certain portions of county roads to be named by Taney County Commission.
We would need those identified.
Yeah. I think so. When's that dated? Right.
30th day, September 2005.
2005.
2005. I knew it had to be the first year that I was here. But we had stored chips on there then. But they don't have it in their agreement, so I don't understand. I figured they took an exact copy of the other agreement.
That's the only one we could find in our files.
Okay. Well, make sure that you get for everything that you need, and I would talk to the superintendent down there again.
Okay.
And make sure that everything's... on the up and up as far as agreement that the county's getting a return.
I put information in your package last week or sometime in regards to a Lowboy trailer. Etnier, the chip seal machine company, has a trailer that they have on the internet. They had it at $22,000. They're valuing it at about $18,000 now. That's the lowest they would let it go for. They would trade us straight across for the old chip seal machine, which last year we attempted to get some money out of. Couldn't get any money out of it, and I'm not sure it would bring a heck of a lot of money at the auction.
So. I looked at that. I'm all for it because we're getting approximately $20,000 worth of value for something that we can't even get rid of.
I already responded to Frank saying, let's do it. So.
Okay.
Got my nod.
Thank you, sir. Recently, there was a, through planning and zoning, there was an approval of a development, small development on Ella Lane off of Candlestick Inn Road, off of T Highway T30. The name of the development is National Institute of Marriage. And I won't remember the. It used to be an attorney's house. It has a ski lift from the lake that goes up to the attorney's house. And then it was the DeLillo property.
I think you're sure it wasn't Gary Smalley's house?
Gary Smalley's house.
Okay. Yeah, Gary Smalley. Okay. Because
he's not an attorney?
Mm-hmm. No.
I thought he was an attorney. In the decision of record for planning and zoning, as it was approved, they made the stipulation that the road conform with Taney County road standards to as they move forward. And there's a lane called Ella Lane. I don't know if any of you have driven down it.
Probably not. You know what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Not fascinating, though.
Yeah.
It's a tree-lined one-way driveway right now. Actually, two-way driveway. The road leading to this development is probably 12 to 14 feet wide. It's not, there's the road leading to it. It's not a two-lane road by any means. That's what we're looking at.
Gotcha.
Are they requesting that it be a county road?
Or? No, they're actually wanting to gate it off. But our county road standards say that it needs to be 24 feet wide. 20 feet of driving surface and shoulders. What they'd like to do, there is 50 foot of right of way there. They have a swath this wide all the way down to their development. They'd like to put another lane down this, and then one would be an in driveway and another would be an out driveway. I don't see any problems with it, especially if they gate it off.
If they gate it off, can't be a county road.
They're not asking for it to be a county road. This is just, as they move forward with their project, planning and zoning has asked them that they build their road to county standards. And this would be a slight variance from the county standards as that county roads, very seldom do county roads have trees in between two opposing lanes. There are some cases where there are trees in the middle of our roads.
Okay. Is it any of our... say so? I mean, P&Z, is it going to be a extremely heavy used traffic area? Or?
No. It's going to be for couples, for a small limited number of couples to come in on a Thursday and leave on a Sunday night. It's National Institute of Marriage. I would be okay with giving them the authorization to move forward. bring it to your attention because it doesn't really follow our guidelines strictly to the T.
I would leave out that it meet county standards because it can't meet county standards with them trees in the middle of it.
So then we would be granting a variance to that standard. We'd be saying, go ahead with your development, but your road will not be meeting county standards, therefore we will never take it in.
But basically, that's what you'd have to say. With that row, and I wouldn't, if I was them, I wouldn't want the row of trees as big as they are taken out either, but I can't see that we have any business in it, really. They're saying that the county's not going to let them build their retreat down there if they don't make a county road to standards. I don't understand why we're
yes.
I don't understand why we got our nose in that.
Well, partly, I said that on the meeting, partly there's two individual residences that are accessed through this road, right?
There are two residences that have a right and
easement or
something. Yes.
Were they opposed to the?
No. I don't know if that was part. I had to leave the meeting before it to vote, but I don't know if that was part of it or why. Do you remember why they?
What's the question?
Why did they, as Danny was saying, why did they want that road to meet county standards? Why did PNZ want that standard on there?
Because it's substandard right now, and any new development that's done in Taney County in the decision of record, as Danny's questioning, is the stipulation that they meet county standards, any new road, any new developments?
Even if it's a gated situation?
No, there's some language in the road standards that talk about gated situations. It's recommended that they build to county standards, but don't have to.
And this one can't be. I mean, you're going to take all them big trees out to make it to county standards. You've got to have a variance of some kind that you're going to be looking at, and I wouldn't get involved in it. Because if we put a variance on it and somebody goes down through there and hits one of them trees and gets hurt, we're in the middle of it. And it's a gated community. It's not going to be a county road. I mean, I would recommend, the thing of it would be, if I was PNZ, I would recommend that they have another road lane on the other mm-hmm. side. But I wouldn't put it in as a obligation or standard that they'd have to reach. But gated community, we're locked out of. The public is locked out of.
I can meet with Eddie and put a letter together that states for them to move forward and that the county doesn't have any liability or jurisdiction within the property itself.
Could we get PNZ to, instead of having the requirement county standards, could we get them to take that county standards away and put in there what they want? In other words, another lane on the other side of the trees. So it's a PNZ thing and it's not mm-hmm. a county road and bridge thing. Instead of using the road and bridge standard, that they have to meet the road bridge standard since they're going to need a variance, if that's right, then help them with language that says XYZ.
Okay.
Another lane needs to be built on the other side of those trees.
Because of traffic volume or something like that?
Right.
I think they're wise in doing that because it is a decently long lane and you got people that having to back up. It is just one lane deal, right?
Right now it is, yes.
You said it's Emma?
Ella?
Ella, not Emma, Ella.
I'd go along with what Chuck said. I'd change the language in a
letter. I'll work with Eddie then and write it like a supplemental letter to the decision of record.
What do you think?
Take that language out of there.
I wouldn't get involved in it as far as the county, but you can recommend that they put their other lane in and stuff. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying Frank comes to the PNZ board tonight and says, would you change this instead of county standards to meet this requirement? Another lane built, however how wide? Just an idea.
I was wondering if, just administratively, if Eddie and I just couldn't work on that letter. P&Z board's generally fine with,
as long as you're
road department is okay. In satisfaction with
the decision. I don't want to make it more difficult.
I'm fine with that. You guys bringing a letter forward that would be satisfactory to them and satisfactory to P&Z standards.
Okay. We're right at 80% done with the chip seal program. We have about 2 more weeks of it.
Been a big success this year from everybody that I've talked to.
Okay, we've been lucky. It's gone rather well, considering some of the weather that we had to deal with.
I got a question when you get finished up there about that.
Okay. And then the letter that I'm formulating for you, putting together in regards to the Army Corps or Arkansas Fish and Game, the more times I draft it, the more I'm thinking that really what I think we should do is ask for another meeting with them in regards to the things that we're worried about and leave all the ugly language out of it that says we're not happy with. But I have a lot of documentation now, much more than I had before, that states from them in their writing that talks about it being a 5-foot elevation change, not a 3-foot.
Frank brought it through, and you'd be sending them a booklet of everything that says 5 foot on it.
Well, they want to raise Slough Hollow by 3 feet. That's what they came and talked to us about at the meeting.
You missed that meeting
on purpose. That sounds like on purpose now. How can they raise it 5 foot only, or are they just going to raise it 3 foot right
They're
there?
They're saying that 3 foot is the mean elevation, but it's been advertised as 5 feet.
I've got letters from them saying it's 5 foot
with
FEMA, because FEMA says they're preparing for the FEMA maps are being prepared for 5 foot elevation.
And then their language, their definition of reasonable continued use in regards to Slough Hollow, they stated something to the effect that Slough Hollow floods 23% of the time. And when they currently, with current today's conditions, without making any changes anywhere, they're only responsible, according to Army Corps or Arkansas Fish and Game, to build that Slough Hollow to a condition where it would continue to flood 23% of the time.
I see. And they brought a second step of 2 more feet to bring it up 5 feet. If the county wants to pay for it.
So they're through in their engineering drawings, they have A and B. B is county pays for 2 foot of elevation raise. And at that length, about 3/4 of a mile, that's quite a bit of material to pay for .
I took the liberty to be the bad guy and said I didn't think they were treating us right. Manny was agreeing. That's the harsh language.
I think you said it stronger than that.
Yeah, I said it stronger than that. I said it more than once. Anyway, I still don't think it's right.
So in regards to writing the letter, I'd like to just put it to the point that we're interested in meeting with them to discuss the 5-foot elevation change and then discuss our roads that we think are in jeopardy.
Well, I'd be in favor of that if we can prepare what other roads and what we want so that we say we want this 5 feet, we want Slough Hollow at 5 feet, and we want Barker added 5 foot here and what other roads we want. So, I mean, we have a responsibility to be specific to them on. Because we did. I mean, we gave them that big long list and said there was 10. And
right.
They need to know what we're requesting strongly, I think. Is that how big a job is that? I mean, can you do that for us?
Yep.
Randy, do that for us?
I talked to Randy a little bit about this morning. He was going to verify the roads that he knows would have a problem at 659.
Has he still got the elevations on those roads?
He said he was going to look for it.
Yeah. Because he took the time to go shoot elevations and everything else on everything that we turned in to them. I'd hate for him to have to go back and redo it, but I guess on 10 of them that we knew about wouldn't be bad.
We're dependent on Randy to give us that list. His long-time experience and getting what elevations.
And
we need maybe another session with them, with Frank and Randy, to see if we agree with what that is.
And we are on kind of a time-sensitive deal because after we got down there to KDOC, the Corps is trying to do some swapping with Arkansas Fish and Game on the level of the parking area at KDOC, and they're wanting to use that funding to raise the level of the across where we have the water problem. They're actually wanting to do some changing around and not use these funds for this location, but use them in the raising of that property for the road to go across. And they've only got till December the 31st to put this all in action, and which the Corps has basically, if you want to know the truth about it, they've sat around on their hind end and almost let $390,000 fall by the wayside, because they should have had this done when they were granted that, and I brought it to their attention and tried to get them to let us do it. And that's when they said they would not let us, this is over a year ago, would not let us blow the bluff off and get the material there. Now they're in agreement of doing slough hollow, blowing the bluff off. And actually, the day before you get there, Chuck, they talked about blowing the edge of that road off there at K, you know, from the park down. So they've actually let themselves get in this position to where it's time restraint. And the money goes back January 1st. And it doesn't have to be, the project doesn't have to be completed, but it has to be, the contracts have to be let, or the project has to be started at that time.
When I left, the ball was in their court, and it might be good to ask Frank to call Tracy
Fancher. Yeah.
He seemed to be
up on
one that was going to be the lead and work between Arkansas Game and Fish and what you're talking about. It didn't sound like they were going to be able to maybe give us a firm deal as far as what they would do, but they did seem to be somewhat agreeable to do it.
Yeah.
They were also going to contact the Conservation Department.
See if they would.
See if they would be a part of doing it.
Yeah. We're talking about the K. K crossing?
My thought is we need to be careful to not mix those two up.
That's right.
Although there is an element of Arkansas kicking it a little bit some way, but we don't want to get it mixed up.
Tracy Fancher?
Fancher. F-A-N-C-H-E-R. But Danny's right. As I visited with him, same thing. And we really need to move along. And the bottom line is going to be, the question is, how much is the county willing to put into this project to make it happen?
Yeah. There's a big deal with $27,000 worth of cost to mobilize the equipment in that location. And if they don't have that ready to mobilize that equipment but December the 31st to start the project, they lose that $27,000 right off the top. I mean, it's gone. So that was one question that they had when we were in discussion with them, was this mobilization fee, that nobody knew anything about that except for the
Corps guys. No, I think that was the Corps guy.
Yeah, but he's the engineer that was there, one of the engineers. And he knew about the $27,000 mobilization fee. And he said it's a shame to lose that.
Tracy's with the Army Corps?
Uh-huh. He'll contact everybody else that needs to be contacted.
But it'd be a good first chance to give him a call and see how things are going and anything you need us to do or something like that.
Okay.
My thought.
You kind of got away from the chip and seal deal there. I had a question on that.
Okay.
Are we shooting ourselves in the foot? Because I found out yesterday that we were heating oil on the weekends to keep it from... are we shooting ourselves in the foot but not having that big tank over there on Mount Branson in that deal? Or is this year pretty well over with and we're not going to have to worry about it till next year?
We have had several instances where people had to warm the oil up over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're probably within 2 weeks of finishing right now, weather permitting. So the majority of the season's done, but we still have the need for that tank.
I just wanted to let the commission aware of that, because that would have been a big, when we pay somebody to go over and, you know, overtime for to go over and heat oil for 2 days is a pretty good expense.
Yeah.
And a lot of times our chip and seal program, this year everything's went pretty good, especially for the weather. But we have chip and seal right up till it got so cold in the fall that we didn't think that we could chip and seal, really. And we just used those dates because of the summer progressing. And 1 year we had this ice storm or the some storm that interfered, and we were late getting started because we had all the recruits working on those. So that big hot tank that's over there, it's like a $70,000
replacement cost. Yeah.
Replacement cost, piece of equipment. Ours blowed up out here.
Right.
So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up so we were aware of it.
Do we want to talk about that facility at all, or you guys take care
of
that this morning?
We already did this morning.
Good. What'd you have, Randy?
Talking about surveying the elevation of some of these roads to get a definite elevation. I can get a GPS elevation. Is that going to suffice for Corps?
They used it before, Randy, but I don't know. And when you and I worked on that back when they first requested this 5-foot water raise, you went around and shot, and we're using it on our lake access deals. You're shooting it off of GPS, aren't you?
Part of them I did. They didn't want to get that technical as far as, you know, they wanted line work on the GIS data that we sent to them, and I had Patsy help me create that. She actually helped create that core buffer to what roads are on core property. And I didn't actually go around and shoot elevation. Some of them we pretty much knew which roads would be affected the most by the 5-foot raise.
Mm-hmm.
But the map would be a little bit deceiving because it's going to show roads, even a core property that sets up on bluffs that, you know, won't be affected. So we got to narrow that down to the about 10.
Yeah, well, that's what we did, Randy. When we met with the Corps, Chuck and I and Frank, we limited our number of roads to 10 that would be the most significantly, because they only had a certain dollar amount that they were going to spend, and they said that on Bull Shoals and Taney County was probably the Missouri side's going to receive. Slough Hollow is going to be one of the major ones because it was one of the most expensive. Is that the way they put it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way you heard it? That's the reason they're taking it into consideration first, is because it's one of the most expensive projects that they have. But we need 10 of those, that big long list. We need 10 of those picked out. Barker Hole, if it meets the elevation standard. And they've got an elevation that they've already decided that they're not going to go any more up or down on other than, what was it,
659?
659.
That's what they're wanting their minimum to raise to the 659, but like Sioux Hollow on the plans, that showed it bringing it up to 3 foot above wasn't a total.
Right. There's part A and part B in the plans. Part B is where we, the county, make up the additional 2 feet.
Is the 659, is that not the conservation pool?
654 is the current.
Oh, it is.
Pool.
Okay.
And they're wanting to bring it up to 659, which I think that's current elevation of Sioux Hollow right now. It's right there about 659, 660. Is
yeah, it was had places in it there that was 659.
The last thing I have is T-Highway contract. I sent a copy of it to Bob last week for review, the Great River Engineering. They requested if I could get that on your agenda. So if we could consider putting that sometime on the agenda for later this week. Maybe
Monday.
After Bob's review?
Yeah, okay. We'll do it Monday. Yeah, we have a skeleton crew in the commission office.
Okay.
That gives Bob plenty of time to review, but I'll make sure that Jillian and Bob make sure they review that.
What's the T-Highway contract about?
T-Highway intersection improvements.
Oh, the intersection.
Great sure. River. Do you have anything for me?
Going back to chip seal, have you had time or opportunity, whatever, to look at our budget as far as can we do any more? How are we doing on that?
Right now, things look really good for the capability of doing more. I think I mentioned earlier several weeks ago that we're contemplating doing some asphalt roads to chip seal. One of them would be Gunnison. Another one would be Patterson. There's, I think you had mentioned 4th off of 86.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yes, we do have, it appears we'll have some capacity to do some more chip sealing, probably about a week's worth.
Just curiosity, we take care of the Oakmont Center?
Yes.
Good.
Completed and done. Oakmont Community Center.
It was good for the election.
Was it good for the election?
So the 19th, you're going to come in with us, and we're going to review the roads that we are considering to take in, the budget, if it's capable of sustaining taking those roads in, or certain amount of mileage that could be considered for next year. Am I barking up the right tree?
I have a file of about 6 or 7 roads that are in the in a holding pattern for roads to be taken in by the county that were previously petitioned this past year.
And what we needed to know was the cost, if it's going to lay within budget, and if it's going to be the first of the year, we'd take them in now, but they wouldn't become effective until the first of the year or in next year's budget, or what how you got that laid out, because these other contracts that we've, the Tiger monies would affect that tremendously. Am I asking you too many questions?
No, I'd be more comfortable in knowing, like I said the other day, it's hard to make a budget year for 2011 without being further into 2010, yeah. I'd be more comfortable in giving you that number that we could use for roads to be taken in closer towards the latter part of the year. But I already have the cost for what the immediate upgrades would need to be for those roads.
And you knew my concerns about that, because I've spoke with you and spoke to the commission about the tax situation.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Anything else?
Not for Frank. I got a couple things that are administrative. I just want to run by real fast. But nothing for Frank.
Okay.
Anything
right.
else for us?
That's it. Thank you. Renee, myself, and Linda have been talking about the slope, and I think we have our drainage issue handled, and we're coordinating our efforts to dress up the rest of the slope. We're waiting on final finished grading with topsoil of the slope until we know that who the contractor is and when they'll be here. I'd like to do that final grading with less than a week's time prior to the contractor getting here, so that if we get a big storm, it's not all washed away again.
Now, what contractor?
I'm thinking that there's going to be a contract for hydro seeding of the slope.
The bids were opened on Friday by Linda, but she has gone either today or some of this week, and she's going to come back with some information. This is what Renee and Linda worked on to get us a price on what it would cost to do the landscaping, hydro seeding, and all that with wildflowers and some other stuff. So that's what we talked about a while back. But anyway, the bid, I believe, just got opened on Friday. I think that's what I had on my calendar.
Wildflowers, you're talking about a ground cover type of?
Ground cover, not something non-mowable, so we don't have concern of people trying to mow it when we're not around. And
right.
The safety concerns and all that. So. But anyway, I think that bid was opened, but not. It's obviously not awarded. We didn't award it, but it was open on Friday, I believe.
So we haven't forgot about the slope. We're in continuous conversations and just waiting for the pull the trigger on the right time.
Right. One other thing on that, you did that one part. What about the other part where the water comes out? We're going to do something with it, or the big pipes? Because you've taken it all to the ditch there on at Shorty Cooper. What happens up above that? Does it not wash out or anything?
I'm not sure when you say up above.
Don't we have some
creek
other
pipes.
Big pipes that are coming out from underneath?
We've taken care of all of the pipes that come out of the slope. They all have riprap in front of them now.
All right.
The only thing I'm not really pleased with in that whole project is the beginning of the ditch on this end, whether it be west or north, the beginning of the ditch, closest to the parking garage. When the sewer contractor came through and worked through the ditch and now is done with the ditch, MoDOT has signed off for the contractor, LS and Larry Snyder and Company, has signed off, and they're okay with the way that they put the ditch back. To me, that part of the ditch is the worst-looking part of the ditch.
It is. It is worse, but I think that's what Chuck is referring to, because the actual look at the ditch and the riprap that comes down from the pipe, I would rather we had a concrete slope with maybe some baffles to kind of broke the water up a little bit to where it didn't rush into the ditch and across the road. Mm-hmm. You know, if we'd have had like a foot, you could use it in the case if we had a ditch down through there of concrete and then had like some stem walls or something run out that were staggered, to where it broke the water around or around so it didn't run out there and just hit that, you know, it hits that road down there at such a tremendous force and hits that riprap to the point that it can't stay there. I would rather had a concrete funnel ditch or something there. Would you, or a box with stem walls in it?
I was just curious whether the...
I don't think it'll ever look right.
I'm just concerned because you brought the water right down to the ditch below, but the other two is not brought to the ditch. And
right. The volume of water that came out of those is nowhere near the volume that came out of the large one.
Right. As far as the looks, what Danny's saying, I don't know.
Yeah. But the look of the MoDOT ditch is not
up to par with the rest of it.
Right.
So if we don't like that, we're going to have to fix it ourselves.
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, administrative. Two things. We tabled the minutes from this morning, looked at the minutes, and the vote was, Chuck, I think you abstained from a vote last Monday because you had someone working, you have family working at one of the...
That was the bid on electrical.
Okay, that's it. Wasn't that the... I didn't abstain last week because the question, that check in question was the coffin that was the week before. So I didn't abstain. I just don't remember why you, I didn't listen to the audio, but from
my voting on that day, on the, that Monday, I didn't abstain, and I was fine with my vote, but okay. You...
I had to confuse them because yeah, I thought right. You did, and I thought it was flip-flop.
Yeah, no, but did you remember abstaining last week?
No, I didn't, okay. But maybe I did. Jim, do you know why? Or you wasn't here, was you? It was Donna.
If you want, I'll go back and listen to the audio.
Well, could you make a correction by listening to the audio? Okay, and it may not be the correction. I may have abstained for some reason.
I don't remember you abstaining, though. You were here, yeah. But everything else was fine. My vote was fine because my question was fixed. So.
Okay.
Can we just, you want to approve them or just want to table them? What do you want to just leave them table, let him fix it?
That's fine. Won't you let him fix it and then we'll okay. Approve them next Monday.
Okay. Only other thing was, right now when we trade phones in, just let you know, cell phones in, we send them back for a $20 rebate off our bill. That's just what we do. Rick and Nikki work it all out and all that fun stuff. The commission office was approached and wanted to know, if we're getting $20 from Verizon when we trade them in, can an individual buy that same phone for $20 or send it to Verizon? Since our process is $20, do we care?
Is it the phone they've been using, you mean?
No. When we upgrade phones, like if an old phone comes in off of a... If we have to upgrade a phone...
Doesn't matter to me, but how are you going to administer that?
First come, first serve, Nick. As long as we get the same amount of money,
that's all right with me. I'm just sure as the world you're going to have 10 people wanting 5 phones or something like that. How are you going to?
Is
the situation?
Yeah. Draw straws. Is a situation to where they're turning their old phone in because there's something wrong with it?
No, they're upgrading. Like, remember when we upgraded our phones from Verizon, from an Alltel phone to a Verizon phone? We group them in groups of 20. That was part of the deal we had, and then we ship them off to Verizon or whatever it was, and we get $20 for phone credit. Is what it is. It's a credit toward our bill. And
they had people ask?
Yeah. They had 2 people ask. And then we had plenty of phones for the 2 people who requested.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a problem with it, but I wanted to make sure, obviously, run it by you guys, but... The requests have only been 2, and we have way more than 2 phones.
I don't have any.
I mean, as long as the county gets the same amount of money, that's all I
would. If it's county employees or something, I'd limit it to that. I wouldn't want to let somebody come in.
Remember, we're still trying to solicit the old phones for anybody that offers any money. So on the old phones.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it. You just need a nod of the head on that.
Yeah, as long as you guys are aware of it, Yeah, nod?
Yes.
Nod, okay. That was it. So I can let Nikki and Rick run with it, figure out how they want to administer. If there's an issue, they'll bring it to us. Okay, and then we'll post the minutes for next Monday then, for our meeting on the 16th. The airport board meeting is tomorrow. I will not be able to make it.
I'm going.
You're going to go. Okay. I'm heading off to Osage Beach, so then right. I'll be out.
I've got a little... deal on a call that come in, and Chuck's got a meeting there with those folks at 2:15, but I had a deal with another animal control issue, and I told them that they were supposedly got in touch with the health department, but we had two pit bulls kill a house cat,
okay.
And the person lives in St. Louis, but he's worried about his grandkids that live there at that location. And apparently one of the deputies released wouldn't let animal control take the dogs into their, take them over to the facility to quarantine them for any period of time. And now we've got 2 pit bulls out there that this guy is scared to death for his grandkids to be out there when they killed the cat in front of the 2 grandkids. And they don't know what would have happened if the kids would have run down there and tried to get the cat. So... we have a deputy that, and one of the animal control officers was there to take the dogs because they have to get permission from the sheriff's department to do so. But the sheriff's department would not let the animal control officer take the dog. So that's just left up to Jim and them, I guess. But man, I can't see what's going on here. I mean, they're calling county commissioners wanting to know what we're going to do about it, and it's not our deal. I mean. But I'm a little concerned myself.
Are you wanting to take animal control back?
I'm wanting to know why in the hell, if you want to know the facts, that sheriff's department deputy didn't take the dogs, let the animal control take the dogs into.
Right.
If you want to know the truth about it, I'm aggravated about it.
Well, I know. I just want to know.
But I don't know if he's being smart aleck behind me or what, but whether the county commission's overseeing animal control or the health department, you've got the same story.
Hmm.
I mean, in this, yeah, the situation you're talking about.
Right, right.
And that is understanding the sheriff's department on what needs to be done. And I don't know if, I mean, we modified that ordinance to try to facilitate
this same very situation.
The situation, so maybe the deputy wasn't aware that that was there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I mean, his grandparents going to be terribly nervous and upset. He's a veterinarian in St. Louis.
Have you contacted Jimmy or let him know? Or
Jimmy's out of the office, but the sheriff's department has been contacted.
Okay.
By several phone calls this morning.
Okay.
This guy's just worried sick. I'm just telling you the truth. He's a veterinarian.
Right.
He's just worried sick, and he can't figure out why those dogs aren't quarantined for two reasons. One's because they killed a cat. Don't know whether the cat was sick or
right.
The dogs were sick. So they should be quarantined no matter what. And then the other reason is he's got grandkids that were right there that might have got involved in the situation when they seen their cat being shredded by two pit bulls. So they're traumatized by it, and I don't blame him.
I think that Bob could answer it, but I think the ordinance says that if it exhibits a tendency or something like that, that it has to be contained.
For a certain period of time, quarantine.
Well, I don't know about that, but it has to be every day. It has to be in a fenced, certain way facility.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then I would think they had the reason right to pull it in, like you're saying.
Basically, what I want to do is let the commission know that this gentleman's going to be calling until he gets some satisfaction. And I just want to let you know if we get a call up there, the girls it's taken a lot of their time. And I don't blame this gentleman for being concerned. He's a veterinarian. He knows what the procedures are statewide, plus what our county ordinance should be. So he's concerned about it.
So has Jim Berry been notified yet?
I have. Jim Berry knows about it.
Okay.
Basically, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but they're kind of wondering why.
Right.
There's some people wondering why they haven't got the dogs out there. And they can't go on the property and get the dogs without the sheriff's approval, the deputy's approval.
Right.
And the deputy didn't give approval, so the dogs are still out there.
Well, I was just a suggestion. I'd take my ordinance, slip down to the sheriff's department, and show them how it's in violation. File a complaint, ask them to go get them.
Because someone's acting as sheriff right now. When Jimmy's gone, there's an acting person.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, I'm just...
So I do. We have the ordinance that clearly defines what they're supposed to do, then we need to show them the ordinance. Maybe they're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's an awful good chance, because, you know, let them sit down and look at all that stuff all the time, and could even be somebody fairly new, and I don't know.
Could be.
A year or two ago we did that.
Yeah.
But there you go.
I mean, that's brought to the commission's attention, and I just wanted you to know about it. We'll go from there. Anything else?
Yeah, there is something else, and I knew there was something Rick came in reminded me, and that is I don't know if I make the airport thing in the morning or not, but I'd like to know where we are. You couldn't answer us the other day as far as the $100,000. I'd like to commission to ask Rick to do us an audit or whatever you want to call it. We should know where we are on that. And maybe the airport board knows. I don't know. But Mark didn't speak up. Mark was here when we asked that question. I asked the question.
Rick, why don't you pull the numbers? Because you guys did different accounting process. I know that that was an issue. You'll get the numbers. Okay, that's a lot. Jim used to say, if you're going to talk anymore, you have to come to the microphone. But you're going to do an audit? That'd be a good thing for us to know where we stand.
Have that available Monday? Okay. I'll ask the question tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. I guess we had enough.
Yep.
You have something for us, Rick?
Yes.
In particular, look over the NDA. That stuff we can change. I think I made that clear by email, I'm not sure.
Okay, all right. I've got it. I haven't looked at it yet.
I've just opened it. I haven't. I really, that's all I've done, too.
Usually.
Yeah, you better come to that mic.
It sounds like it. Usually, the only thing I really look at is the recommendations that they make at the end and go from there. I look at the numbers and make sure they match up with what we've got, but don't normally have any problems there. So,
Oh, we're going to have him come forward and.
Well, but we need to get back with him with this MD&A before he'll come down. That's why I was trying to get you guys to take a look at that and make sure it's okay, because it should be your decision more than mine. I'm glad to write it and put it in there, but I would like for you to look at it and make sure that you don't want it saying something different than what I do. Okay. And then I'll get that back to him. As soon as he gets it back, he'll probably be calling you and saying, come down and give you the final audit report.
Okay. One other thing popped into my mind, sitting here seeing something in front of me, thank goodness. Who all's Jim, I guess you have.
EPM?
You've talked to him.
Extensively.
You talked to him yet?
No. Ron
Houseman
did the other day, and I walked right out of here without. I had another meeting to go to, and I walked right out of here without getting a visit with him.
The question I had is, we're talking about a 25% savings over the new facility, and they said new facilities will save more money than older facilities. And I said, well, why didn't we?
To begin with.
Why didn't we do this to begin with? And they said, we don't do that unless we've already got some of your facilities in our system already. I don't understand that. It doesn't matter. But the question that came to mind in my conversation with them is, we just approved whatever we approved.
$700.
Of teaching our staff how to work with Johnson Controls. And if we happen to go this way, we're going to take the Johnson Controls and throw them in the ditch, or sell them to somebody if there is somebody out there to buy them. And their bottom line was, or what they said was, well, it would take long enough to get this in that you ought to go ahead and let your people get trained. But anyway, my head was shaking, I'm sure, that we got a brand new facility. Or it was brand new not too long ago, and the controls are costing us 25% of what this company claims they can do.
Well, and it's what they...
Is that what you heard?
Yeah, it's 25%+. I mean, it's more than... The thing is the
yeah,
controls.
Plus.
Yeah, it's... We did not solicit... When I talked to the architect, we had energy-efficient items built into the building that we turned them off throughout the different decisions and during change orders to disable certain energy-efficient settings through different change orders that we conducted and some direction he was given by maybe some people that used to work here. So that their specialty is controls. That's what they did for Hollister, and Hollister's exceeding their savings that they got they were projected on. So there's some huge numbers that they're talking about, but you're exactly right. The new facility is where they see the biggest lion's share of the actual dollar savings. There'll be savings here, but there definitely. It's very intriguing when you start looking about kilowatts per hour and how they analyze the business. It's very interesting.
Have any of you contacted Johnson Control and say, look, And what did they tell you?
They were told to not turn on all of the features. Now, there's a lot of things that the Johnson Control System will do and can do. There are certain things that were not added, enabled when we first installed it. So there's a lot of, I wouldn't say finger pointing, but there's some finger pointing going on right now. And it looks like we could maximize some of the savings, such as we were cooling the building 24 hours a day. They made some adjustments where the temperature goes up at midnight. The blower system doesn't turn on, but it turns on at 5 to make sure by 7:30 the temperature's proper. That saved us a little money. There's a lot of savings when it comes to the controls that they can do. Not nearly like this company can do. So, anyway, it's a very intriguing conversation we'll have with the numbers and their case studies. But, anyway. Hopefully Danny can spend some time with them and then...
I think I'll call them, have a conference call with them.
Well, I've got a pack. I think they left you a packet of information, so...
Here's Reed Springs School, just for humor here, for fun. Installation date was February and March, two different facilities, of 06. And they claim actual savings 25.42 on one building and 28.13 on the other building.
That's significant.
Well, that would be a big long-term gain for us in the county.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you feel like that's a possibility, you need to be checking into it, because that'd be a lot of money for us long-term.
Yeah.
We ought to call Reed Spring. Talk to that superintendent, Mike Mason.
We heard him.
You good?
I'm good. Thank you.
You guys have any comments on the NBA?
All right, I'm supposed to be...